I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's another beautiful day to be alive. You're listening to Let's Go There with Sharon Ryan on the new channel Q on the radio and radio.com. Happy day before Thanksgiving. Valentine's Day.
I mean, maybe we're just hungry.
I know. Maybe. I'm just like on, I think I'm just on multiple sick medicine. So I'm confused what day it is, where we are, what it is. And maybe I just don't care about Valentine's Day. I'm protesting.
I was actually wondering because I feel like you, I mean, you are kind of still in a relationship. So I was like, what are you guys doing? Like,
I love Valentine's Day. My mom used to get all of us presents and all that. So I do, I have a love for Valentine's Day. But I just feel like these days, because I've been with someone that hasn't, I guess, gone out of their way or cared as much, I've kind of dropped the ball also on caring.
Mm.
So we'll be talking about that in our cue of the day, our question of the day. How important is Valentine's Day to you? We already have people answering on social media at We Are Channel Q, but you can also give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557. But more importantly, we have a very special guest joining us.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Today is the day I've been waiting for us to, like, put this interview out into the world. It's a good one.
Golden Globe nominee, star of our favorite FX show, Pose, Billy Porter is joining us.
Yes.
Oh, and this, yeah, the screams, the claps, the yells from our audience.
That was our live studio audience.
It's amazing.
Just really excited.
Yeah, he was great. Of course, he's busy with New York Fashion Week right now, but he's been busy with the award season, nominated for a Golden Globe and hitting the red carpets and just amazing style, just an amazing spirit. And he shared so much about his experience, coming up in the acting world, and then kind of where he is right now and how he's breaking through and the responsibility of that. So stay tuned for that on today's show. Also in our gay agenda, we are talking to Seppi Shine. You might not know who she is, but she's definitely someone to follow. She's running for a local city council, but if she's elected, she would be the second lesbian and first woman of color elected into West Hollywood, as well as the first out LGBTQ+ Iranian American elected in the nation.
Yeah, and I think what we're seeing here is so many women joining this political, candidacy and race, and I just want to pick her head and see if she's feeling any pressures with that, and with her being a woman and doing so many firsts, and even though it is very local, I feel like she has a lot of perspective that can really resonate with everyone.
And today is National Radio Day. Congrats, radio.
Yeah.
You have a day. Which means it's a day to celebrate all of us and what we're doing and everyone who listens every day. So thanks to all of you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yes. but what another day that I like, because there's always, every day has a day to it, right?
Uh-huh.
Galentine's Day.
Now, what is Galentine's? I've been hearing it, but I'm like, what is this day?
Girls celebrating Valentine's Day together. So I feel like it's like the anti...
So what, it's like a slumber party?
Perhaps.
Like a girl slumber party?
It's basically, I feel like it's... possibly girls that are single.
Okay.
Who are like, F this. We're going to do our own thing. Empowerment to women. It's all about the sisterhood.
That's cute.
And so, yeah, you might be celebrating Galentine's Day together, you know, or with someone. Who knows?
That may be the first time I've ever heard of Galentine's Day.
Thank God for Twitter trends.
Yeah, it honestly sounds like one of those things. What is a galantine? Where the things where you get your head cut off? Isn't that what that is?
Yeah. So
it's like very Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I don't know. I get girls Valentine's Day. I don't know. What would you call it instead? Valentine's Day. Ladies Valentine's Day.
Yeah, single ladies day.
Valentine's Day. And what about the guys? Don't they deserve one? A Valentine's Day?
No, that's the whole reason why girls are wanting their own day.
Guys
to
don't
get
care.
Away from the men.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's a mood.
We're getting into what's trending in the news. This one is an interesting story coming out of the University of Southern California. The second blow to USC's student health clinic. This time, six male graduates have filed a lawsuit this week accusing a men's health doctor of sexual battery and harassment during appointments. events. Here to share more is LA Times reporter Matt Hamilton. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me here.
So, Matt, you reported about this story. Can you give us some details as to what was discovered and what's happening?
Yes. So the lawsuit was filed earlier this week in Los Angeles, and they're all six gay or bisexual men who graduated from USC. They're all in their late 20s and early 30s, and they're saying that they went to the Student Health Center when they were students, and you know, the doctor was giving them like routine STD screenings, and as part of that, the doctor would ask their sexual practices. And they allege in their lawsuit that once the doctor found out they were gay or that they had sex with men, that the tone of the whole appointment just changed and they felt judged and shamed.
Yeah, the doctor in question is Dr. Dennis Kelly, who is 72, retired last year after two decades at the campus clinic. Now, he has denied anything happened or any inappropriate behavior, right?
He has. Dr. Kelly is an openly gay man himself. He's, you know, very passionate about men's health and said, you know, I talked to him on the phone yesterday and he said he felt like he knew this was always a risk, that his questions to patients could come off as judgmental or shaming, but that he was really only asking very specific questions so he could figure out if they were engaged in risky behaviors and how could he intervene.
Now, with us living in this kind of, obviously a Me Too kind of movement, and this article falls into then, this story falls into this, do you think this, because obviously the doctor, he's saying he didn't mean, you know, it to come off like this, do you think this kind of is career ending as we've seen before?
You know, it's hard to say. This is something that really came out of, it wasn't on anyone's radar. And, you know, to my knowledge, there hasn't been any report to the state medical board or to police. But certainly his reputation has been sullied. And I think it's a wake-up call for a lot of doctors and clinics. For example, USC now requires there to be a chaperone, basically a witness, a medical assistant in every appointment.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's sensitive because, you know, most appointments with women, gynecology appointments typically have a nurse or a medical assistant, but the men's appointments at this clinic didn't. And that's another thing that's changed since this is all, not this specifically.
Yeah, because this isn't the first time. I mean, obviously, there's been other cases of this. Last year, Dr. George Tyndall was also at the student health, and he is kind of being also alleged that he had some sexual assault against women. He was a female gynecologist. So this just seems like it's something possibly that USC's not either doing background checks enough, or they're not really checking into who they're bringing in. Because I remember even as like student being back in college and kind of going to those student health centers, a lot of times you would get people or, you know, doctors, you know, that really maybe just didn't care because they were like, oh, it's just students. So they just kind of are very nonchalant. It's not like going to a doctor.
Yeah, I think in the case of Dr. Tyndall, you know, if you were to do a background check before last year, you know, there were no lawsuits against him. He had a clean record. I think for Dr. Tyndall, it was a case of the university just ignoring repeated complaints from patients.
Wow.
I mean, you have women who were saying that they felt he was creepy or taking photos inappropriately going back decades. But Dr. Kelly, you know, this new lawsuit that came out, you know, none of the six men who filed their suit this week had ever complained formally to the university. So I think from the university's perspective, it wasn't quite on the radar as much as that gynecologist. But they say, you know, USC said in a statement that they're, you know, they take it seriously and they're trying to figure out the facts. So it's kind of premature at this point.
Again, yeah. We're talking to LA Times reporter Matt Hamilton right now about this latest lawsuit against USC's student health clinic, specifically a doctor who had been, I guess, had performed sexual battery and harassment during appointments to specifically LGBTQ alumni. Between this lawsuit and the other big one, which is a $215 million class action settlement agreement between USC and other law firms representing women, and what does this mean for the future of USC? I'm assuming if you see this coming out of a school, you wouldn't necessarily want to send your kids there.
You know, I think USC is, as they've said, they've been in a crisis, and I think it's really undermined a lot of trust that students have in the health center and the doctors that they go see. But you know, USC has been trying to very publicly say, you know, we're adding more doctors, we're guaranteeing that, you know, a woman coming into the clinic can see a female gynecologist, that we're going to do more extensive background checks, that we're going to appoint, you know, as part of this settlement, USC is going to have to appoint this independent health advocate who will kind of scrutinize every complaint coming in and making sure there's follow-up. So, you know, USC has tried to, you know, they're certainly having to pay a lot of money, but they're trying to change the university so it's safer for students.
There. Definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Again, Matt Hamilton, LA Times reporter. You can see his work at latimes.com and this interview at wearechannelq.com. We are moving on from what's trending in the news to top stories in pop culture and entertainment with Afternoon Tea. So what's coming up, Ryan?
Sam Smith isn't afraid to take on haters, and we're talking all about it coming up in 6 minutes.
Hello, welcome back. You're listening to Let's Go There with Sheeran Ryan on the new Channel Q on the radio and radio.com. It's time for some fun with the top stories in pop culture and entertainment. We call it Afternoon Tea. So what's the tea, Ryan?
Yeah, so we have a lot coming up. Bill Cosby has a lot to say in his first public statement since being in prison. But first, let's start off with the positive.
Yes.
Sam Smith is fighting the F back against body shamers. So basically, Sam shared this shirtless beach photo of himself on basically, you know, kind of expressing how he deals with his insecurities. He said, in the past, if I have ever done a photo shoot with this, with so much as a t-shirt on, I have starved myself for weeks in advance and then picked and prodded at every picture and then normally taking the photo down, which I honestly can relate to because Facetune is like my best friend. And I also think when you're dealing with like body culture and then diet culture and all these different things, you can feel a little insecure if you feel like you don't look like everyone else or people, especially like on a Sam Smith status, you have people probably talking about like your chins or your body.
He lost a lot of weight at a certain point. And I feel like now this picture, I like this because it seems like he's found a happy medium.
Yeah.
But I don't like to judge this. It just felt from the outside perspective like he was really thin, like almost like too skinny.
He did show up, like, and we talked about it on the show. He showed up to our little staff meeting here at radio.com.
Yes.
And he actually looked delicious. Like, he was in my opinion, he was like in that best shape of like being a little bit thickums.
Yeah.
But like having like, a fuller face. Like, I like having something like to grab and hold on to. Like, don't nobody want to touch on bones and stuff, which no shade to my skinny friends out there, we love you too, but I just liked a little grab on something. He made me want to grab and hold on to him.
He was looking good.
He did look very good, and basically he said he said this, and this was my favorite part of this whole Instagram moment. He said, stop trying to change this chest, these hips, and these curves that my mom and dad made and love so unconditionally. And he even kind of said to those who might dismiss a bare-chested photo as being narcissistic and showing off, he said, if you knew how much courage it took to do this and the body trauma I have experienced as a kid, you wouldn't think those things. And I feel like that is so relatable. I mean, I don't know if you want to tell people that I'm like your secret Instagram guru.
Yes, Ryan is. I like to the point where it probably annoys him because I'm like, Ryan, can you just look at this? I need other eyes. Everyone needs an Instagram friend to filter things through.
And I will say this. It doesn't annoy me, but I think the most thing that really does annoy me is when we find, like, you look absolutely incredible in a photo, and then you, like, will zoom in and you'll pick at the smallest little things. I'd be like, are you kidding me? You look skinny. You skinny legend, you.
See, it goes back to we're our biggest critics. Yeah, like, whatever yeah. we are, and, you know, that's why we have to watch out for that that self-talk.
Yeah.
Because typically, it is, like, all messed up. We all have our messed up views of ourselves.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, honestly, I feel like I even deal with it, especially even going when we first started to do radio. I think one of my huge insecurities was, like, listening to my voice. I was like, ew. First of all, I don't have a radio voice, and I think I had this pre-notion of what radio people sound like.
Like this? Hey.
Or like, you know, like the Ryan Seacrest or like the Elvis Durans or like things like that. Like, you're like, oh, those people have radio voices. But it's one of those things where I even like with our producer, when she's like playing things back, I'm like, could you turn that down? But I'm trying to get better at it because people, like you said, people see things that, you know, people see things in you that other people, like you don't see in yourself. And I think that is like super important. I love that he talked about this because it was his first time even speaking about his body insecurities.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He, it was, I think, head on, but he also did kind of talk about it in 60 Minutes Australia, but we don't get that.
Ooh, 60 Minutes Australia.
Yes, honey, could you imagine how serious and the accent is? I wouldn't be able to take nothing serious. So basically, he says this in that interview in 2015. He said that he's more offended when people make comments about his weight than when he hears slurs about his sexuality.
Wow.
Now, that's intense.
Yeah. I mean, that you would compare, you know, one to the other. Like, I mean, they're both horrible. Let's not compare and contrast both, like,
Well, I guess I think, here's the thing. I think one, it's that kind of that falls into that thing of, like, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt me kind of thing. Well, I think he can pick and choose which words he allows, you know, hurts him, but his own security, because he knows he's not that thing. So being called a, let's say, like, a gay slur, he's just like, oh, really? They've been calling me that since I was, like, a young boy. But them saying fat and him actually looking in the mirror and maybe believing that can really be, and I get that. I'm like, I totally understand that perspective.
Yeah, and triggers typically, just in life in general, it's an opening for what you need to heal because it's something that you still are trying to understand or deal with. Like, that's basically it. If he has come to terms with his sexuality, which obviously he has.
right.
And that's the reason why those slurs, you know, don't hit him as strongly as people making comments about his weight, because it's something he's still going through.
Well, yeah. And then I think we talk about dating, and that could fall into that whole kind of weight culture as well. Like, we literally had this discussion about weight privilege on the show. And it's one of those things where it's like, if you're constantly being reminded that because of what you look like in your outer appearance is unattractive, and you can't, you know, and you don't feel like you can be loved, or you don't feel, it's like, it plays into that. I mean, I can even attest that I fall into that all the time, like where I have to be like, wait, is this guy's actually interested in me? Wait a second. Are you like, are you joking? Are you playing around? Like, you, and it's one of those things where it's like, no, I should look, be able to look myself in the mirror, and I should be able to be like, no, you look great. You are beautiful, thickums and all, but sometimes that's hard.
It's the imposter syndrome almost.
Yeah.
So you're always questioning when you do get something or fame, well, you know, in his case, fame and success, you're saying, you know, instead of saying, yeah, I deserve this, or obviously I would get it, you're like, why does this not make sense?
Oh my goodness. Point blank, period. That is something that I feel like I constantly do, where I'm like, and it sucks because even if you do have, I guess, a version of success, you start to feel like, well, you feel even worse because you're complaining about these things. You're like, you're being so hard on yourself over these little things. And it's like, dude, where's the win-win in this? But he does say, to combat his insecurities, he said, I need to constantly train myself to watch the right sort of films, to not look at certain ads and think that that's how my stomach should look. It's something that I'm fighting every day.
You know, they say, like, if you are having issues on social media and you keep seeing things in your feed that you feel jealous of, or you get starting to get resentful, or comparing, contrasting yourself to that, guess what? Just stop following those people.
That's true. I mean, that's a little, I mean, yeah,
obviously,
it's very easy.
You should deal with that feeling.
Yeah, right.
But also, why put candy in front of you, or why put crap in front of you if you're going to be teased or, you know, wanting to give in to that negativity?
Well, I want to say I love him even more now for even bringing this conversation to the table, because men do deal with this. And I think that's one thing that we never, never really talk about.
Yeah.
But now, coming up in Afternoon Tea, you won't even believe what Bill Cosby has to say in his first public statement. Basically, he's comparing himself to MLK and Nelson Mandela.
Oh, no.
Stay tuned.
That's right. We're back. You're listening to Let's Go There with Ciaran Ryan on the new Channel Q on the radio and radio.com. And that was some Chainsmokers action here. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize that they were in our radio station today. That's crazy.
I mean, that's the wild thing about like being here at radio.com. All these random celebrities will just pop by and you'll just be like, oh, hey, you're in like, I don't know. It just feels like you're running into them at the grocery store in some weird way.
Wow. That's our life.
Basically, we're famous.
So we are continuing with our afternoon tea, top stories, pop culture, and entertainment. And this one is an interesting one, Ryan, isn't it?
Oh my goodness. Bill Cosby is now speaking out in his first statement from prison, saying he will never have remorse because he's a political prisoner. How wild is that?
What does that even mean?
Okay, this is what that means. So basically, in his first public statement from prison, Bill Cosby said, like I said, he will never have remorse for any of his crimes, and he calls himself a political prisoner. And I guess a statement was given to, of course, his press spokesperson, Andrew Wyatt. And then he says, my political beliefs, my actions of trying to humanize all races, genders, and religions landed me in this place surrounded by barbed wire fencing and a room made of steel and iron.
So he thinks he's like this hero, this civil rights hero?
No, let me even...
You're a predator.
It's not even done. He said the quarters that he's living in, which is his cell, the SCI at Phoenix, it's a prison outside of Philadelphia, he said it resembles the quarters of some of the greatest political prisoners, Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela, and Dr. Benjamin Chavez. And Cosby said, which of course, you know, as if you're not familiar with the story, I don't know where you've been hiding, but I'm here to help you. Of course, he's been known as America's dad. He was sentenced in September to 3 to 10 years in prison for drugging and sexually assaulting a woman at his home in 2004. Basically, his lawyer said this, and now this is a personal statement from his lawyer. He said, when I visit him, it's nothing sad about it. He's not sad. He's not remorseful because he did nothing wrong.
He should be embarrassed.
I mean,
there's a one. He's in because of one person, one woman. But there's been tons of other allegations.
Exactly. There was a lot of women that came out saying the same story, saying how, you know, his tactics were all the same. And this is also something that I was just gagging about that I could not believe his lawyer, Andrew Wyatt, said. The sheer volume of people coming forward making an accusation doesn't mean that it's true. And what America has said is that women don't lie. Women do lie. He said he believes it was the political aspirations of a district attorney and a judge that landed him in prison.
He is totally messed. I mean, that's like a crazy thought.
Who, Ted? I mean, honestly, it's kind of like it feels like he's like a sociopath in some way. Like he honestly is sitting behind these bars and he's thinking, you know what? The way I'm going to deal with this is just to, you know, go full out denial.
Yeah. Well,
I don't even know what. Why am I here?
That's what Ted Bundy did.
Clearly. And that's why it's just, and it's so sad. Because the Cosby Show and A Different World, and I mean, Ghost Dad and Fat Albert, all of these things that Bill Cosby put into the universe by his art and his talent really did something for my life.
Of
and
course.
Really, I mean, I watched all of the episodes from beginning to the end of reruns of The Cosby Show. And it's just like, dude, now I can't even look at that stuff the same way because I'm thinking this guy is. Is like the snake in like a garden and he's coming out and like trying to be sneaky about the way he's living his true lifestyle.
He's off his rocker, obviously. I mean, he is getting old. Didn't they say that he could have some major issues right now, like mental issues as well?
I mean, he is 81. But I don't know. I think, of course, he has mental issues, in my opinion, because he's already saying that he has no remorse for anything he's done.
And he's surrounded by people that are also crazy. Like, his lawyer is crazy. And then his wife also supposedly is totally rooting for him, too.
Yeah. You have these people in. And let's even go back to his trials when he would basically, and you would watch him coming out of the courthouses and he would do those weird, like, movements or do, like, yell weird, like, sounds out of his mouth and where women and everyone's protesting him. And it's like he just did not care from those moments. He has not cared. He has never felt any remorse. And it's just like I honestly cannot believe. Also, oh my God, I just thought about this.
Okay.
So when I was my first radio contest that I had ever won like tickets to back at home in Nashville was, and I remember I was calling, my mom was driving, it was like a road trip. We were coming back from Illinois. and I heard it, and I was like, oh my God, Mom, they were giving out tickets to like a comedy show of his. And I was like, oh my God, I want, this is like, could be huge. Literally, I had never won anything from a radio thing, and I won tickets to him, and I was so excited because one, I was a huge fan of his, and I was a huge fan of his work, and that was like the first, like, my mom was like so excited, and we went, and it was at the Future College I ended up going to, and it was like one of those things where it was like, that was like one of the best like moments that, and it's like now all of that is just ruined.
Your childhood is ruined. It's just, your memories.
It's honestly like when you find out all of like the sexual innuendos and like your favorite like SpongeBob SquarePants and like the Disney movies that are just weird, that when you grow up, it's just like, wow, my childhood is just done.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what that was for me. Like, who was my Bill Cosby?
Ooh, who was your Bill Cosby?
I don't know. Maybe I had no mentor people I looked up to. Honestly, I'm trying to think, and I'm like, I guess it was more like talk show hosts. Like, I did grow up with Oprah, but like
Oprah's, not doing nothing wrong. And if that comes out, oh my God, I feel like the world is going to explode if someone says Oprah did something terrible, because it's just like, we have nothing left to live for. Like, what else are we doing in life?
Exactly.
I don't know, but I was... It's crazy to kind of see this, but if you guys want to check out more Afternoon Tea and check out more topics like this, head over to WeAreChannelQ.com and make sure you're favoriting us on the Radio.com app.
I'm Shira.
And I'm Ryan.
And you're listening to Let's Go There on the new Channel Q. We're here for you daily, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, catching up on everything you might have missed throughout the day, from pop culture, current events, LGBTQ plus news, our crazy lives, and more. And guess what? You can hang out with Channel Q tomorrow on Valentine's Day.
You
the
sure
date
can.
Is here. Join us at the world-famous Abbey from 7 to 9 p.m. as Loveline with Dr. Chris Donahue broadcasts live from there. Get your love and sex questions answered. Have some free drinks. We're going to be doing giveaways and more. And guess what? I think a lucky listener won a $100 Abbey gift card last night.
Oh, they sure did. And I heard there's going to be plenty more giving up as well. And I think they're going to be winning some when Loveline comes on, too.
Oh, yeah. No. You're giving them away on this show.
Oh, we're giving them away on...
We just got... We heard from our program director.
Stop.
We are giving away $100 gift certificates, which is basically for drinks and food, whatever
honestly,
you want to use them for.
I feel like Oprah. You get a gift card. Yes. You get a gift card. Everybody getting gift cards.
So what do they have to do? Just call in?
Well, there it is.
Yeah. Call in. All right. So each winner, I'm getting the rules.
This is
now.
Live radio right
Listen
here.
Listen to win a $100 gift card to the Abbey to enjoy during Loveline's Valentine hookup party this Thursday, as I mentioned, at the world famous Abbey. Okay. Prize details. Each winner receives $100 gift card to the Abbey. That's $100. Point. All right, so we need to listen. What? You have to call live now. Call.
Oh, well, go ahead.
That's basically it. Call us right now. 833-77. Call Q. That's 833-772-2557 to win a $100 Abbey gift certificates that you can use during our live broadcast from the Abbey tomorrow.
I'm trying to figure out how I can get one for free, even though I work here.
That's unfair.
It really is.
First world problems.
And also that kind of brings up, make sure in the 6 o'clock hour, we are asking you guys, what does Valentine's Day mean to you? Head over to our We Are Channel Q on social media to answer that question, because we're going to be getting to it.
Let's move on to our gay agenda, stories impacting our community, the LGBTQ plus community. And we have a very great guest in studio, an inspiring woman. Seppi Shine is joining us. She is only the second lesbian and first woman of color that is running in West Hollywood, right? As well as, or you got elected.
Well, once I'm elected, I'll be the second lesbian ever to serve in the first woman of color.
What? Yeah.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
First out LGBTQ plus Iranian American elected in the nation.
Yep.
So you're running for that right now.
I'm running. It's a historic election. Yes.
So tell us about, you know, we've been talking about how, well, one, it's a historic number of women and women that are very diverse in Congress right now. And you were a business law attorney and you're a small business owner, but then you decided to take the leap to politics. Why?
Well, I actually took the leap to advocacy many years ago, and that's where everything led into where my deciding to run now. When I was in my second year of college, I was at a coffee shop, because I grew up in Northern California in San Jose, and it was, quotes, gay friendly. We didn't have actual gay coffee shops back then in 1997, and my ex and I were always going there to hang out. And we were there one day and the management had changed. We were sitting in the back patio and all of a sudden a police officer and the manager were towering above us. Police officer looks down at us and says, the manager doesn't want your kind in this establishment. You have to leave. And then he blows a kiss and winks at me.
Gross.
We had just come out to our families. So being Persian, and she's Iranian and Assyrian, so they're way more conservative.
Yeah.
We didn't have a support network to call and run home to. Mm. So we were devastated. We just ran out of there. We just lost a safe space that we had had for so long. We were driving around town, and then I made a call to 911 because we knew something was wrong, and it actually was illegal, but we didn't know the law. Mm. And the 911 operator tried to dissuade us. She said, you have to call the Office of Citizens Complaints, but did you get his badge number? Do you remember what he looks like? Mm. Do you have his name? Because without that, you're not going to get very far. So I just hung up, pulled off the side of the road. I turned to my ex and I said, I'm tired of feeling powerless. We have to go to law school, learn the law, and stop this from happening to others.
Wow. That, I mean, and that is so badass. And yeah. I want to just applaud you for that, because I think a lot of times people think California, it's this very liberal state. And there's instances of this where even, you know, people that are in this liberal community, it's just like, even them, probably they may have liberal views and things like that, but they don't respect you. Sometimes they don't respect you. Yeah. And sometimes it still, you don't feel as comfortable as you could be, which is so crazy to me.
Yeah, and absolutely. And there's still, in different communities of color as well, a lack of tolerance for LGBTQ people. So yeah. We need to keep working on that. And so my journey really started into advocacy. I was a co-president of the LGBT Bar Association of Los Angeles in 2008 when the No on Prop 8 campaign was happening. Wow. And so I was out there fundraising, advocating for us. And then I got involved with the Human Rights Campaign for many years. And last summer, when we were phone banking for all of the amazing women, mm-hmm. I led a lot of phone banks for Kyrsten Sinema, Katie Hill, Katie Porter,
yeah.
and really nice. the blue wave.
Yeah.
And then after that, I decided, oh, I want to actually get into politics myself. Why not? Why not do it? And I was appointed to the Lesbian Gay Advisory Board for the city of West Hollywood. And that's where I realized there's a lack of gender parity and diversity within our council.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I decided it's time for me to run.
And I'm sure if it's happening here, it's probably happening other places, which is why we think it's important to share the story. And also after the break, we want to share, if you're interested in advocacy and politics, there's actually all these resources that you can, you know, get and be part of and participate in to start learning how you can join politics yourself.
Yeah, because I thought I was stressed when I was thinking about it. So, but no, it's actually very kind of easy. Not really.
So Steffi Schein continues to join us in the studios to talk about that and more on Let's Go There on the new Channel Q. That's right. We are back and we are in our gay agenda right now. Our top stories impacting the LGBTQ plus community. We've got Steffi Schein right now joining us she's running for West Hollywood City Council. And while this is local, there's a lot of national stuff we're talking about in terms of what, you know, everything politically that impacts us nationally. What we thought was interesting is that Steffi, if elected, will be not only the second lesbian, but first woman of color elected in West Hollywood, as well as the first out LGBTQ plus Iranian American elected in the nation. A lot of great firsts. But you have a career outside of this, but then you've obviously decided to focus on politics and advocacy. How do you balance that? Because I'm just fascinated by like the whole lifestyle of
Same.
Doing this.
It is definitely a lot less sleep. Luckily, I have two businesses. I have my law practice where I practice business law and trademarks, and I have my healing business, Soli Loom. So I'm a Reiki master and animal
what?
Communicator.
I didn't
oh,
know
girl.
That.
Yes. You what? Did, you, first of all, you had no clue what show you just stepped onto. Meet Queen Supreme Hippie. She
okay.
loves that.
I need some of that right now. I should have brought my dog.
So, yes. So I because I have my own business, I have more flexibility. But as far as the advocacy work with HRC, I've really had to step back and ask my co-chair to step up, because there's no way I could do it all.
But even when you're running at a local level, you still have to, do you have to raise money and spend a lot of money?
Yes.
Like it's still a lot of work.
Which you don't, I wouldn't even think, I mean, I guess it would, yeah, because even at a local level, but I don't want to ask you how much, but it does, I guess, does it get overwhelming?
We go there.
Yes, it's a lot of money that we have to raise. So it's not just raising money. It's raising money. It's filling out applications for endorsement interviews, tons of interviews, then waiting to see if you've gotten those, then taking care of social media, then getting the vote out, canvassing, knocking on doors. I mean, it is.
Yeah, so you have to really be passionate.
It's a lot. You definitely need to be passionate. But there's a lot of amazing tools out there for people that want to learn how to successfully campaign too.
So. Okay, so if you want to campaign, if you're feeling the political urge in you, the passion, which a lot of us are these days, what are some of the tools you want to share? Yeah, you're woke and you want to take your wokeness to the next level.
Yeah.
Sappy, please share some stuff with us today.
Sure, absolutely. So first of all, you can talk to others who are in office and get guidance from them. They'll be your first mentors. Secondly, LGBTQ family, contact the Victory Institute. I just came from their Victory Institute training in San Francisco, which is an intense training, which was remarkable. Thursday evening till Sunday morning, barely any sleep, but learned so much. And you just interview, apply. They subsidize most of it. You just pay a little bit of money and go. So they teach you everything you need to know.
There's about also campaigning.
About campaigning,
wow,
and winning a successful campaign. Because currently there's 600 LGBTQ elected officials in the U.S. But to have parity for our community, we need over 22,000 more. And for women, Emily's List is an incredible resource, which you can just, there's some free stuff online, and then you pay monthly, and they have modules to teach.
That's insane.
Yeah.
There's just so much to the building aspect of it. But I want to really dive into, especially because we're seeing so many women, and it's so diverse, and especially, you know, even when it comes to our presidential campaigns, that people are saying, oh, I'm running for president. What are your thoughts on kind of this change that we're seeing where women are really stepping into this new role of leadership?
I think it's fantastic. It's about time because gender parity and equal pay, the time for it was last century. It's time for feminine divine energy to come and heal. Goddess energy to come in and heal. Because women, it's been proven that when women are in office, we actually are more inclusive of everyone. Mm. When we make decisions. So it's not like we're just thinking of women. We think of everyone, and also the aspect of having a family and being a nurturer as well.
Yeah.
Amazing. Sappy Shine, again, joining us right now in studio. She is running for West Hollywood City Council, but with that said, if elected, she'll be the second lesbian, first woman of color elected in WeHo, and first out LGBTQ plus Iranian American elected in the nation. Just a reminder, because, you know, we got called out for not, you know, reintroducing our guests in
That's
the past.
True. People like to know
Richard
who's talking.
Richard in Laguna, I think. Redondo. Shoot, the wrong beach.
Now he's about to call us again. You don't even know
this
where he
is. This is why
lives.
I can't run, because I would like say the wrong area, the wrong name.
So what are your, what do you say to people that have, you know, thoughts about saying like, oh, I don't know if there could actually be, is America actually ready for the first woman president? What are your thoughts when it comes to that?
I think that they were saying the same things about whether we were ready for the first black president, who, in my opinion, is one of the greatest presidents we've ever had, Barack Obama. So all of those are just old patterns of limited belief, which aren't true. Somebody recently told me, somebody that is in City Hall that I was canvassing, that, look, because I want to create gender parity on our commissions because they have more power, and the rate of men to women in West Hollywood is extremely unequal. And when he told me that he loved everything I was saying, but that, you know, with gender parity, he doesn't agree because there aren't enough qualified women to serve. And that's absolutely a myth.
Well, that's, that is crazy, because the moment you hear that as a woman, you say to yourself, well, yeah, maybe you question your own skills. Right?
Well, I didn't question mine.
And that's what I'm talking about.
I definitely, those types of statements do create do create problems with self-worth and self-confidence, mm-hmm. and it's another limiting block that people put forward. Another thing I've constantly been told from the beginning is, oh, incumbents are hard to beat, and maybe next time, or you're starting late, or this and that. And I've just had to really not listen to that and run a successful, strong campaign, and we're doing pretty well.
Because if Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez heard that, she would not have done anything.
Exactly.
Like, you have to start from somewhere. I was going to say we focus on national. Just why is local so important, and where can people find out more from you? Because I know the voting happens very soon.
Yes. So the election is on March 5th, and you could find out a lot about my campaign and volunteer or donate at sepishine.com, S-E-P-I, P as in Peter, I, shine, like shine bright like a diamond, but with a Y, S-H-Y-N-E. And local politics is so important because everything that affects you in your neighborhood, we determine on city council. It's the root and foundation for everything that you experience in your life, more so than presidential campaigns, actually, because everything from homelessness and services to help homeless people and get them off the streets, public safety. If you're walking down the street and the street is dark and you fall, or if you're attacked, that's a city council issue. Traffic in your neighborhood, development of housing, affordable housing, whether your rent is skyrocketing or it stays, those are all local issues.
Oh, good. I'll send my rent invoice to somebody over there, because, honey, I'm tired of paying rent.
Yeah. Steffi Shine, again, thank you so much for being here, and best of luck. Couldn't be more excited about our next guest. Are you ready? We've got Tony, Grammy Award-winning actor, singer, director, composer, playwright. God, he's a multi-hyphenate.
Just a legend. Yeah. Legendary, darling.
Billy Porter is joining us.
Yes, and he's basically he told us this amazing story about how this Pose Roles came to be, and just kind of how he even really got involved. So let's get into the interview, because I don't want to make you guys wait any longer.
When you got that script and that call, like, going into it, did you know that it was going to be as big as it became?
I did not know. You know, what I did know was that the day before I got the call, I had my nervous breakdown, my showbiz nervous breakdown, where I was just like, I'm done, I'm finished, I can't do this anymore, I'm sick of people ignoring me, I'm sick of people acting like I'm not on the table with good stuff, I'm done. And then I get the call for a Ryan Murphy show that's set in the ballroom culture, literally the next morning.
Woo.
And I'm like, okay, Lord, I see it. And then I get the role, and it's actually for what became the dance teacher that Charlene Woodard is playing now.
Yeah.
And I looked at the part and I said, yeah, this ain't the part, but of course I'm going in. So I learned the part, I learned my words, I went in, I did the audition, and then I said to Alexa Fogel, the casting director, I was like, okay, so real talk, you know this is the wrong part for me, right? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's not going to do anybody any good to do a show like this and have me play a dance teacher
outside of the
ballroom culture. I was here, I lived it, like, what about one of these Mothers of the Houses of, like, something? And that's when Alexa, the casting director, told me that, you know, Ryan was going transgender with the help mothers. And I said, well, they're going to need a father over there. they're going to need the book. You know, they have fathers too. They have grandfathers. They have fathers. Like, they're going to need somebody who sort of has a little bit of age to kind of, you know, be the grounded energy, right? And she went to Ryan, and Ryan was like, yep, you're right. And, you know, if you can do an impersonation of this, you know, if you can do some version of the MC, we'll create something for you.
What?
If I can do it.
Look.
The whole culture has been doing it for the last 30 years. The whole culture has based our whole vernacular on Terrence's birthday.
Huh.
Yeah.
Many people really don't even know it, but, like, everything came from that.
Yeah, it's such an iconic film.
That story is so amazing that he just created it for you. And, like, it just, I love the, you know, how everything just blends together in the flow of that, and how it happens when you're at this place where it feels rock bottom or that nothing's left. Like, the universe shows you signs to keep going.
Yeah, it was really, you know, and also, too, with this role, it's not lost on me that all of the things that I am. You know, we talk a lot in this world about authenticity. We talk a lot about, oh, just be yourself. Oh, just be yourself. Oh, be authentic. Oh, be authentic. And it's like, yeah, it's easy to be authentic when you're Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
It's easy to be authentic when what you are is what's popular. You know, but the challenge comes when who you are is reviled, but yet you're supposed to be authentic. But I can't eat because people hate me and won't hire me because of who I am or the color of my skin. You know, so it's not so easy to be authentic all the time, you know, when it's based on whether you're going to eat or not.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and so it just gets hard, you know, and it's like everything I am, everything I represent from the minute I started was questioned. You know, well, you can't be that, you can't do that, you're too black for this, you're too gay for this, you're too gospel for this, you're too, you know, like, it's too much, too much, too much, too much, too much, too much, don't do that, don't do this. And then all of a sudden, I'm given a job where everything that I am is required to make the make it work.
Yes.
Ooh, I have literal chills.
I was.
It happened with Katie Boo. And it happened with, you know, it's like all the stuff I ran away from for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't put on no heels.
Yeah.
Someone won't cast you as a straight man. You know, don't put on that outfit because you won't be cast as straight. And straight is still better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very, yeah.
Which is so interesting. You said in an interview, we have the power as artists to change the molecular structure of the world. So what does this mean to you now, especially with your character being out there and the success that you've seen on this mainstream level?
Like, I won. Like, there was a question, and we've won. We've won. We're here. You know, the story, everybody's story is necessary. Everybody's story is important. Not just white, male, cisgender narrative.
Yes.
Everybody's story. You know, and when you see your story and when you see yourself visible in the culture, it creates a different kind of empowerment inside of you.
Billy Porter, again, joining us right now. You know, this platform that you have keeps on getting bigger, I guess, and you do speak out about these important issues and things that are your truth. Do you feel that responsibility?
Of course I do. You know, I came out in 1985. You know, we were in the middle of the AIDS crisis. I watched my friends dying in the street. Wow. I know what this looks like. I've seen it before. You know, I've seen it before. It's like we owe it to the people who came before us to continue to fight. Unfortunately, you know, it's like eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. Is what Frederick Douglass said. It's hard to come to terms with that. You know, because it's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of the same fight.
Yeah.
Like, if it was something different, you know, maybe it would be less infuriating. But y'all want us to go back now and fight for the same stuff that we already spent the last 100-plus years fighting for and winning. And now we're supposed to go back to the beginning. You know, just freely and willingly, without any, you know, like, I think that's what's so surprising now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, because white people, white men in particular, think that whatever they say goes.
Yes, that was some passion and wisdom from Billy Porter.
Oh, I mean, the gems just started. I'm telling you, this interview is the juiciest interview we may have already done.
That's not the end. After the break, we're talking about his big Golden Globe nomination, where he was when he found out, and what goes into those amazing red carpet looks. Now, hope you enjoyed the first part of it before the break. And now, want to know how he felt the minute he got that Golden Globe nomination, that call?
Yes, you're going to get chills.
Right now, we are diving into that and more with Billy Porter.
Let's go back even to with the Golden Globes. What was that moment you found out you were nominated for Best Actor and then being in the Beverly Hilton? Tell me, take me there.
Well, I'm about to drop some names, so please don't think I'm nothing.
No, do.
Atlanta with Tiffany Haddish.
Yes.
And Selma Hayek, called Limited Partners, is coming out this summer. And I knew that the Golden Globes, the nominations were coming out, and I had my phone in my back pocket for our take, and I thought, well, if it starts buzzing, it's good news. So it started buzzing in the middle of the take.
Aww.
And then, you know, my negative brain went in and was like, well, maybe it's buzzing because people are a collimator to say, sorry, I didn't get it. And I, well, what if and they said cut, and one of the producers came in and said, before we move on, we have a Golden Globe nominee. And I screamed and cried. And
you know, it's so it's so funny how the brain works sometimes, yeah. Especially when you know it's there and when the universe knows it's there for you, but your brain will literally flip in a negative, be like, oh, you didn't get that. Everyone's just like, you know, saying, oh, it's okay. Next time you'll get it. It's so crazy how the brain works.
With award season, we've been seeing all your amazing red carpet looks out there.
The wigs have snatched.
What goes into a Billy Porter red carpet look?
Well, first of all, this was the biggest red carpet look season that I ever have experienced. You know, I've had a stylist now for about 6 months. I've always done it myself. You know, what I love and what I've always loved about clothes is that it's another way of expressing myself artistically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was a long period of time in my life, starting with, you know, me trying to have an R&B record career in the 90s in the sort of violently homophobic R&B world, where that part of myself was really actually squashed and violent. You know, because, you know, if you wear something that looks like that, people might think you're gay. So don't wear that. Don't talk like that. Actually, don't speak at all. You know, like, those were the things that I was coming up against in the 90s. And as I've grown and as I've deepened and as I've become more of who I am, you know, this opportunity came up. You know, actually starting with King Booth, you know, I realized I want to not only be an artist, but I want a performing artist, but I also want people to understand that I have fashion sense and I love fashion and I love dressing up and I love, you know, playing with clothes as fashion as art. Another way, a piece of walking art. That's what I want to be when I show up on these red carpets. That's my goal. And, you know, to finally get to the place where people are interested in helping me make that happen.
Do you think there's still growth to be had in Hollywood as of right now?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, it's slow. It's always slow. You know, show business, we in show business love to masquerade as being inclusive. And very often we're the worst at being non-inclusive. You know, I do believe one of the strides was made this year with me as best lead actor, you know, showing the world that there is a such thing as a black gay leading man.
Yes.
We're
not always on the side. We're not always the best friend with the wisecracks. We're not always the clown. That's not always what it is.
Yeah.
You know, we are leading men as well in our own lives. We're leading men in our own community. We are leading men. So the statement of that with me in that category is a big deal. That's a big deal. And that's the first step, you know. And so we have to acknowledge what those steps are and continue to push and continue to push forward.
Thanks again to the incredible Billy Porter for giving us his time. And if you like that, guess what? There's more. Yes. Where can people find the interview? The entire interview is actually online.
Yes, it will be online at wearechannelq.com. So head over there to listen to the full interview because he spills the tea. He's even more passionate and just really gives us like another one, as DJ Khaled would say. All the keys, the major key alerts.
He was really amazing. If you like him on camera, like, he's just even more incredible off camera and just as a person. So
yeah, and he even talks about being more so even kind of entering the world of fashion, like the CFDA and doing music. It's just so much he touches on that you all have to just listen because you will learn something from that interview.
Hello, that's right. We are Let's Go There with Sheeran Ryan on the new Channel Q on the radio and radio.com. And we're about to get into our Q of the day, which has to do with Valentine's Day, which is tomorrow, as a reminder for all you jaded people that hate the day. Guess what? You can celebrate with us and we'll make the day better for you tomorrow. Join Channel Q and Love Line for our Love Line Valentine hookup. I need to say, what's the exact name of this thing? There's like a title. I have it right here. Love Lines. Yeah, it's Love Lines. Valentine's Valentine hookup. I guess my brain was working. You can join Dr. Chris, who will be broadcasting live from the Abbey tomorrow from 7 to 9 p.m. He'll be answering your questions on sex, love, and dating. And you can also get some great prizes, specialty drinks, and more. And if I'm not too sick, I'll be stopping by since I don't seem to have anything planned for tomorrow. So you can go to wearechannelq.com for more info. But guess what? You can get something really cool right now. The first caller to call us right now will get a $100 gift certificate to the Abbey to enjoy our Valentine's Day hookup event. It's going to be amazing.
And that's fire, too, because the Abbey is low-key expensive. So if you can, you know, get some free drinks and some food on us, why not?
Yes.
You better give us a call.
Enjoy it. 833-77-CALL-Q is our number. 833-772-2557. First caller will win $100 to the Abbey to enjoy with us tomorrow night during our Abbey Loveline Valentine hookup. Okay, we're going to be waiting, but while we wait, let's get into our cue of the day, our question of the day. How important is Valentine's Day to you? We've already gotten a ton of responses on social media.
Yeah.
And while we wait for some callers, let's go to social media. What are some people saying?
Well, I thought you were going to ask me what Valentine's Day meant to me.
Okay.
Sure.
Let's go first to you.
What about you?
No, okay. This is getting weird.
No. Here's
what about you? What about you, Vanessa?
Valentine's Day.
I love it.
Finally, we got an answer. Wait, why do you? All right, Vanessa, our producer.
Oh, Ryan, you go first.
This is getting weird. This is like friends who are just like, no, you go.
Okay, guys, I love it because one, who doesn't love chocolates? On Valentine's Day, all you get is chocolates. P.S. Cheer, I got me chocolates. See,
I got it for everyone, but I did get it because
mostly for me.
Yeah.
And I don't know, even though I'm single, I just love it. Like, you don't have to be with someone. Like, that's the day where your mom sends you chocolates, your friends just give you an extra text. They're like, I love you. You just get extra love, even though you should just get extra love every day.
See, I love this from you, but this is, no offense, strange coming from you, considering Vanessa doesn't like to hug people.
This is true.
So I don't get it. This is like the most, it's not like you're a hypocrite or anything.
It's the rule. That day just makes me a little bit more pink. That's why it's red and pink on Valentine's Day.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's a little softer inside.
It's like your alter ego comes out, that like you have this like unicorn love dust alter ego that comes out of you, Vanessa.
It's her unicorn, or her Cupid.
Yes.
It's her little Cupid.
So thank you for sharing, Vanessa.
You're
I appreciate
welcome.
It. And what about you, Ryan?
It's a day. I think I have it. I don't know. I feel like even though I was in a relationship for a long time, I don't remember any significant Valentine's Day. So
really?
I don't know if it was ever really a thing. I feel like all we did was go out to eat or something. And I don't know.
So
I feel
it never stood out.
Well, I feel like it may probably did. And it like at one point, but I just don't remember. And I've kind of just moved on past it. But now that I've been single and kind of dating in this, whatever we want to call it, it's kind of brought on more stress and anxiety than I thought it would ever.
Oh.
Because when you're in like this new dating situation, how do you express to someone that you want to spend Valentine's Day with them? And then when you do, like, what are y'all doing? Because it's kind of like, you know, is it going to end in like, you know, is it supposed to be super romantic or is it just like, oh, it's just another day? Like, there's aspects and layers to it that I'm just like, wow, I should just stay at home.
And Netflix and chill. You have a date with your couch. Well, I think it is awkward. Valentine's Day can be awkward if you're casually dating someone.
Yeah.
Because that means they're casually dating other people and then everyone's deciding who they're going to go to Valentine's Day with. It's not like an automatic, you know, obvious decision that you're going to go with each other.
Yeah. And it's true. I think Valentine's Day means certain things to certain people because even a lot of times if you're single and you're not Vanessa, people don't celebrate. It's just another day. But if you're in a relationship, most of the times you are celebrating it or you're doing something significant.
I don't
that
know
day.
Because for me, it's always been something I grew up. My mom loved it. She would get us all presents. We'd do a Valentine's Day themed dinner at home.
Really?
Yes. She was all into it.
The most significant thing about Valentine's Day when I was growing up, which so sad, and I'm, oh my God, I'm about to start crying. Not really. But they used to do those little roses that you could buy a dollar for in my high school that you can send, like little chocolate roses that you can send to someone. Everyone, especially during a certain period during the day, someone, like, they would do the deliveries for them, and everyone would get one, and I never got one.
It's
Oh, it's so sad.
It's okay. Now we
but
will
I
get
also
you
was
one.
Like a closeted gay in like elementary school, and so it was like, oh well, I'm not getting one from a girl. That would be gross.
All right. So double-edged sword.
It was. Yeah.
Okay. We see the silver lining in that. Thank you for sharing.
Basically. Yep.
So coming up, we've actually got a marriage and family therapist joining us, Dr. Racine Henry, who has a really interesting take on Valentine's Day and how people are now just doing it for the gram. That's coming up after this, and we want to hear from you. How important is Valentine's Day? Give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q. That's right, because we are into our Q of the day, our question of the day right here on Let's Go There with Sharon Ryan on the new channel Q. The question is, how important is Valentine's Day to you? Because we all have, you know, our interpretations of Valentine's Day. Some people care, some people don't.
Exactly.
Some people are just jaded AF. And we want to hear from you. So again, our number is 833-77-CALL-Q, and we're also on social media at We Are Channel Q. We've been getting a ton of responses. What are some people saying?
All right. So there have been a lot of low-key dark responses where I think it's been Valentine's Day and just love just brings out the darkness in people in some
Yikes.
Way. But this one's all right. Someone says Reynolds, I guess. Yeah, that's it. Only important if you treat your significant other as if every day is Valentine's Day. Otherwise, it is following the crowd in the ecstasy of their illusion of perfect love, unattainable for most.
Whoa.
That's all intense, right?
Yeah, but I love the idea of like every day is a day to do something really nice.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all right, not to call out, but Yessi Ortiz and her boyfriend, Yessi was on 97.1 sister station. He brings her flowers like on a regular basis.
Yeah, there's,
I find that so sweet.
He's most definitely the purest form of men aren't trash. Like, he shows that. Like, he's such a good guy.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I love that for her. She's just love, love, love. Someone says, not important. My boyfriend does random sweet things throughout the year, every year. To expect something on Valentine's Day is silly. We love each other every day. And we show it every day going on our 8th year together. Woo!
Cute.
I wonder what that feels like. Someone also said, least important, love does not need show-offs. Love should make you more composed, and you should be able to feel peace within. Wow, that sounds like your type of girl, Shira.
Yeah, I like that, and I tend to agree. I'm the type that I like celebrating all things, as long as I'm not sick and feel like crap. But I'm down for a good celebration or like a reason to dress up or even, I love Halloween. I'm a Jew, but I love Christmas.
Yeah. And I think the one thing, and I feel like I've said this on the show before, that is so annoying is being proposed to. I think that is the worst. Don't propose on any major holidays. And I just feel like, especially the big gestures on a Valentine's Day, it just seems disingenuous.
Yeah, it just makes it so it's like a lot of pressure that day is not only a holiday, but now it's your, you know, anniversary of your engagement and all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So but then maybe that makes it so you don't need to get too many presents, just one present on one day.
I mean, you don't need a present on, depending
you
on what
do.
It looks like.
I think, all right, so.
Some flowers is cute, even though I won't keep them alive.
A nice orchid lasts a while, FYI.
Oh, thank you
for maybe a cacti. A lot of people like cacti. Okay, we have got a marriage and family therapist to help us out with all our confused thoughts right now. Racine Henry, welcome to the show. Dr. Racine Henry.
Hi, thank you guys for having me.
So you have a really interesting take on Valentine's Day. You think that we should celebrate Valentine's as long as we're not just doing it for the gram. Tell us more.
Yeah, I think that Valentine's Day is a great way to show your significant other how special they are to you. I think that it has to fit that person's personality. Like both of you said, you both have different feelings about it. Some people feel like it's not a big deal. Other people feel like it is a big deal. So if your partner loves holidays and loves love, then you want to go all out for them. You want to show them that what they think is important means something to you. But if they don't care, then why make a big deal out of it? Why do it just to show pictures on Instagram or make other people jealous? Do what makes sense and fits your partner in your relationship.
Yeah. So, all right, someone I've been dating, right? He knows I like Valentine's Day. I wouldn't say he's done anything over the top in our many years of being together.
First of all, he asked her what day it was.
This year he asked me what day it was. I thought I was kind of insulted, even though we have done little things here and there, but it always feels like I'm like poking. So what do I do about that?
I think you have to sit him down when it's not Valentine's Day and let him know how it makes you feel. If you feel like you're fishing for the attention, if you're fishing for a certain reaction, let him know what your perfect Valentine's Day would be like and give him some time to come through for you.
See, I love that. Now, on the other perspective of this, I am dating a new guy, and this is I just was like, you know what? I want to hang out with you on Valentine's Day, and it's fairly new, and we're getting to know each other, but the chemistry's there. I feel so much anxiety about it because I'm like, because this is such a new holiday, and I want to make sure it's special for both of us. Should I go, you know, obviously, you know, we're hanging out, but should I put so much pressure on it because it's such a new thing and we're kind of moving forward into a possible thing?
I think when it's new, you want to keep it fun and not make it a do or die situation. So use Valentine's Day to go out and do something fun together. Take a cooking class together. You know, go do some other activity like rock climbing or skydiving that you've never done.
Skydiving.
So it can still be, well, there's indoor skydiving to keep it kind of safe and cute. But
I think you can. I believe it's staying on the ground.
Right. So maybe you can have a picnic at home or recreate your first date. Something that is small but still special for the two of you, but not a grand gesture that makes the person feel like, I didn't know we were there yet. I thought we were just sort of dating and feeling each other out, you know?
Yeah, but I agree with you, even whether that be a new thing. I think those ideas are great for even a long-term relationship. Like, I think that shows a lot more thoughtfulness than doing something huge or going to, like, to a really nice restaurant.
Right. You want to switch it up. You don't have to do the conventional flowers, candy, teddy bear dinner. You can do something that creates your own unique Valentine's tradition. So every year, Valentine's Day, you two do this special thing that only you two would care about because it means something for the both of you.
And even people, I feel sometimes the anxiety around Valentine's Day is the pressure of seeing if they, you know, if they feel like they have to go all elaborate and spend a whole bunch of money. How do you people balance that of being like, oh, you can accomplish, you know, an amazing Valentine's Day on a budget and not have to have that feeling of spending a lot of money?
I think throughout the year, you can have a jar where you put in your ideal or perfect Valentine's Day ideas.
Ooh, a layaway
plan. Then every year, you can pull one out. Or you can just decide, this year, we're not going to make it a big deal. We're not going to do too much fuss. Let's plan something together beforehand. I think making it a pressure situation of today's the 14th, what are we going to do today, adds that anxiety and stress. So why not just give yourself some time and plan it out from the month or a week or two beforehand?
Yeah, I tend to not care. And then day of, once again, I look on the gram and I see everyone doing cute things. And I'm like, why isn't that my life right now?
Should people expect sex on Valentine's Day?
Big question.
Absolutely.
Come on.
I think of any day, why not do a Valentine's Day? But again, it has to make sense for the both of you. If you're not feeling each other that day, if you're getting into an argument, if you're not getting along, don't force it just because it's Valentine's Day. Mm. You want to make it real. It has to be genuine.
Well, I love it. Thank you so much, Dr. Racine Henry, marriage and family therapist. Thanks for giving
us some
love advice for Valentine's Day.
Have a happy Valentine's Day. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Coming up are Yaz Queens of the Day. One involves a new type of Barbie, and one of our favorite shows on Netflix is coming back for a new season. That's right. Well, let's go there with Sheeran Ryan on the new Channel Q on the radio and radio.com. Remember, you can join us tomorrow if you are in the Southern California area and in Los Angeles. We're doing a live broadcast of Loveline with Dr. Chris Donahue from the world famous Abbey. Come hang out with us on Valentine's Day for, you know, free drinks and giveaways and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, and honestly, Dr. Chris sounds very sexy on air. Mm. Imagine what he looks like and the muscles and the tattoos and all of the deliciousness of that man's body.
And if that sounds hot.
Ooh.
And juicy. Guess what? You can get a $100 gift card. All you have to do is give us a call right now. 833-77-CALL-Q. 833-772-2557. And now it's time for our Yaz Queens of the Day.
Yaz Queen.
So this is interesting. Barbie always releases new Barbies that are more diverse and inclusive. Now they're releasing a Barbie in a wheelchair who has also a prosthetic leg. So they are branching out. Mattel, which makes, you know, the popular doll, talked about this on Monday. They introduced the newest member of its Barbie Fashionista lineup. It features dolls with disabilities as well as different skin tones, hair textures, and body types.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a thing.
I thought this was going to be a yes queen.
No, it is totally a yes queen. But I, you know, with Barbie dolls, don't their legs already come off? So technically, isn't it prosthetic? Oh, God. Don't you see? Like, I think it's more. Can't you, like, take things off?
But yes, but I think it's assumed that it is a full body.
What?
Anyway, no. You get what
if
I'm you, saying.
I mean, I get it, and I love the wheelchair aspect.
It's
of
more
that.
The a removable prosthetic limb, so it means like not the full leg comes off. Maybe I don't know. I need to see. I need to play with these dolls to fully do my review.
Well, I think they're actually very, very cute. Like, and plus, you know, we've seen Barbie, like Mattel. You said that's the company name.
Yeah.
You've seen them do all of these amazing things, like the plus size Barbie, and they've been trying to be very inclusive. And
yeah.
I love that anyway. And I think especially for young kids that are, you know, disabled, that this is going to be great for them.
So I'm looking at the picture right now. Prosthetic means, so there is a leg, but it's a prosthetically, like one of those of, like, not a skin tone leg.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, I see. I see.
Anyway,
it.
So.
It's cute. She got a little denim on.
Yes, they're all very cute, as they always are. I don't think there's ever I can't afford cute clothes Barbie.
No, there's a couple of Barbies that I've seen that are a little rough.
Well, that's because you are very critical of the fashion choices.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're going to be a Barbie, you need to step it up. Like, step your game up, girl, because actually, I was watching Drag Race, RuPaul's Drag Race last episode, and RuPaul has a new Barbie, and that Barbie is sickening. It's so good. It's beautiful.
Yeah, they should have a Drag Race Barbie.
They do. RuPaul has
that
one.
Is, but like a whole thing, you know, expand it. Well, for this new Barbie, the designers worked with a wheelchair experts and the UCLA Mattel Children's Hospital. The company also worked with 12-year-old Jordan Reeves and her doctor to create a doll with a removable prosthetic limb.
That's so beautiful. Does the wheelchair move?
Once again, have I played around with these? I assume they would be really boring for kids if it didn't move.
Yeah, that's true. That would be
And it would make it not feel as real.
Yeah.
Anyway, the dolls will be available this fall.
Which is right in time for, like, the holidays and stuff coming up. Like the fall, isn't the fall?
I mean, we're already Christmas. It's basically Christmas.
The fall is getting closer to Christmas and Black Friday shopping, you know, all that stuff. You got to think ahead.
Yeah, and we all know, as we mentioned, they deserve a Yaz Queen because they do a lot for, I would say, different communities. In 2016, they released their new Barbie lineup in four sizes, original, plus tall, curvy, and petite. Mm. In 2015, the company featured a boy in a commercial. How innovative is that?
No, it's
promoting Moschino. What's the Moschino? Okay. That's why I'm not in New York Fashion Week.
It's okay.
And it was spearheaded by American fashion designer Jeremy Scott to show that boys can also play with Barbie. So Yaz Queen to Mattel and Barbie for making those big strides.
No, it's really, really great. I'm very, very excited for them.
Exactly. Now, coming up, we've got another Yaz Queen.
Oh, yes. This is exciting.
Yes. One of our favorite shows is coming back. The premiere date is set. We'll tell you which show after this on Let's Go There with Ciaran Ryan on the new Channel Q. We are continuing with our Yaz Queen of the Day. We do this every single day to honor someone doing some awesome stuff because there's a lot of crap out there.
Oh, it is. So, Yaz Queen.
And this one goes out to our favorite squad, Queer Eye. Season 3 premiere date has been revealed.
Oh, my God. My favorite gay boys are back, honey.
Yes, it will debut on Netflix on Friday, March 15th. And the Fab Five will be hitting Kansas City, Missouri. To work with a new roster of heroes with their trademark brand of self-love and confidence. That's according to their press release.
Which I'm actually super excited about because obviously they've been in Atlanta for a while, the first and second season.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're taking on like Kansas City, Missouri is like literally, I feel like they're going into the depths of like middle of America. Mm.
And that's where it gets interesting, right? It wouldn't be as interesting if they were, of course, in LA and New York.
That's true. Yeah. That wouldn't
but
make
we
any
all,
sense.
We still need some help.
But the weird thing is that they've been in Japan because I follow all of them on Instagram. And so I'm like, wait, are we going to get like special Japan episodes?
Actually, speaking of which, they are going to be doing a Japan set miniseries.
Oh, I knew. I just wanted to set you up for a good segue.
I appreciate that. I love it. The four new episodes titled Queer Eye, We're in Japan will feature the guys creating relationships with four Japanese men and women from different backgrounds and cultures. So once again, season 3, expect more diversity. And also the teaser that talked about all of this, which was like in this text message thing that they had on like, social media.
Yeah.
Also included Carly Rae Jepsen's new song. Can we play it? Waking up next. Yes, Carly Rae Jepsen. That's a fun box.
Oh my God, it's so amazing. It's called Now That I Found You, and now you, I guess you can like pre-order it, and hopefully we're going to be adding it to the station. It was such a good little exclusive while watching that teaser, so if you haven't seen it, go check it out because it's very, very cute.
And just as an extra little nugget of info today on today's show, Miley Cyrus is going to be one of the first guest judges on RuPaul Drag Race Season 11.
Yes! Oh and my God, it's so exciting!
The notes here from my producer, and she is pump, and we are pump. I just love it. We love you, Vanessa,
our producer here. So,
Yaz Queen to all of that good news today. A great way to wrap up today's show. Coming up tomorrow, of course, it is Valentine's Day. And we will have some experts talking about some fun things around love and romance. But because we do go there, we're having a different take on Valentine's Day because it is the anniversary of the Parkland shooting, and we will have survivor Julia Cordova joining us. So we're going to be talking about what's life like a year later, and really, has anything changed in America? So stay tuned for that discussion tomorrow on Let's Go There with Sheer and Ryan, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on Channel Q. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay because it's Valentine's Day.
Oh, that rhymes.
I know.
We'll see you tomorrow.